Hello. Hello, everyone. Greetings. Hello, I'm Skylar Earle. I'm here to fill airtime for the next 60 seconds while we check the levels. How is everyone doing? So I want to remind you, this is the most tightly packed... You just stole my seat. That's okay. No, sorry, it's okay. This is the most tightly packed session I've seen at this entire conference, so I want to remind you, think back to what Vasily said this morning. Smile at the person next to you. It costs you nothing. So be kind to one another and easy with the elbows. I just want to take a moment to thank you all for coming, and I give you Mikola Kozier. Thank you, Mikola.
Thanks a lot. Hello, everyone. That's huge. Thanks a lot for coming here. I was not expecting to see so much people here. I don't know, even the presentation is not very good, at least I know how to create great topics, so, you know, I hope it would work. So I'm product manager in Aspectum.com. I'm not sure if you know what it is, but probably you would check then and try what we are developing. What would be I'm talking about is the heat maps. So just to clarify, the heat map that I would be talking about is on the right part of the screen. So it's probably the more like common representation of heat map for cartographers. But there is like common statistical methods to visualize features there is on the left part. So I would be talking about the right part. So I hope nobody just decide to leave at this moment. So let's continue and work there. So the heat map is actually the data visualization for the density, usually for points density on the map. And here is the nice picture from the Vladimir Agafonkin blog on Mapbox.gl. And actually, what's the reason to talk about the heat maps? As I told, we are developing a software that's the cloud-based platform to work with location data and analysis. So by analysis, I actually mean analysis. We do provide some geostatistical methods to work with the location data, which allows to discover data more than just visualizing it. And we had a lot of requests concerning adding the heat map as the visualization method. And I was wondering what's the reason for that, because I actually do not like a lot of them. But as I found, a lot of businesses, a lot of like our users and customers are actually using it quite a lot. So we decided to check how actually they are using them and to understand whether we need to implement this feature in our software. And here is a couple of cases when our customers wanted to use the heat map to discover some patterns and to find some clusters, etc. So I would just stop on a couple of them. Here is the first one. That's for geomarketing. Our customer wanted to find the area with like the most attractive area within the city to spread their businesses in these areas. They got some points of interest, the points of attractions. It was like some bus stops, some schools, universities, etc., etc. And they wanted to visualize it, and actually they did on the heat map. Here you can see on the left part. And my question was, really, is it what you wanted to see? I mean, there is nothing to see here, so you cannot make any decisions based on this heat map. Therefore, what we actually made with them together, we built just a simple grid over the city area, then counted the number of features per every square, and then run the quadrant analysis. So the quadrant analysis allow us to understand not just the areas where there is a high intense of features, but also to understand which distribution type is actually within this data set, because there is no need to find clusters in the data set if the data set is not clusterly distributed. So therefore, they were satisfied enough with this solution. And at this moment, I decided to go deeper into other cases. We've got the second one. Here is the visualization of 100,000 points on the map. And we also, the task was to define the areas where people came from to the peninsula. As you could see on the heat map, there are a lot of like red regions here, and you could not actually compare them. So they look pretty much the same at this at a lot of areas. But what we've done, we actually also built the vector grid and counted the number of features per every sector, and then used the MemBoxGL rendering to also to put this vector into the third dimension. Therefore, it was easier to compare the absolute values within features. And you could see that these like red parts are actually quite different from other red parts. So comparing these two visualizations, you may see that the heat map is really simplifies the visualizing features, and it really do not show the pattern that is expecting to be shown by using other visualization techniques. And here we use the nested means classification, which is quite good for the long tail histogram. Therefore, even the colors we used, it's like two hue color ramp, also show even better than the heat maps, which is used the Railbow color ramp, which I would be talking about a bit later. So it's also like the pain, I believe, for every cartographer. The third case we also met in Ukraine. There is a car accidents map, which we used to find solution, to find decisions where to put the TrueCam patrols. TrueCam is the active radar where for police officers, which are actually staying on the road and trying to find whether the car is moving within the speed limits. And as you could see, it's like the whole city is in a mess. So I have no idea how they just try to find the places to put these patrols. And here is our map with blue lines, which shows where actually they put these patrols. And on the our map, we also made a grid, but instead of just counting the number of features, we run the clusters and outliers analysis, also known as local Moran's eye analysis. Therefore, this analysis allows you to see the clusters of high values, clusters of low values, as well as outliers. So if there are some road parts which have a bit different number of accidents comparing to the nearest one, it would be the outlier. And as you can see, comparing these two results, actually the main patterns remaining the same. So the middle part of the city is red as well as in the heat map. But using the analysis techniques, you could see that there are some specific regions where it is significantly higher number of accidents, and it is recommended to put patrols actually on this area. So it's here on the north part of the city and also here on the south part of the city. That was also the case. And the fourth case that we also met during this heat maps requests was about the time series analysis. So that's also about the vector data. We found that the issue was to find clusters of crimes analysis and to visualize it on the map using the heat map. I mean, they wanted to find the sparks of crimes in some specific areas. But what we've done and what we are also talking about, that location data analysis is not just about maps. That's also about charts. That's also about some indexes. And here you could see the chart that's showing actually the blue line is it's like the histogram number of features per some specific time range. And the red one is the number or the nearest neighbor index. So which shows to what extent the features occurred are close to each other. So it shows the number of cluster to these features. Therefore, as you can see, the high value of, or in this case, a big number of thefts and other crimes does not mean that they actually taking part in one territory. And it is really hard to find some clusters just by visualizing the features using the heat map and then running it into the histogram. Therefore, when you got this nearest neighbor index, you could see whether there is like some the graphs go down, and it means that some features are at this point, some crimes locations tended to be closer to each other, and it is the next step to create a map visualization and actually find this cluster. But it's another task. So at this moment, what we are talking about is there is no need to start with the map, but you should start with like other analysis techniques and then move to the map just to find the place. And here I would share the libraries that we developed for building the time series analysis. That's more easier to build analysis on the daytime range, so you could just, it's like time pretty breaks, so there is no need to define your own times sections. It's much easier to work with your entire time series and then divide it into the relevant sectors. So feel free to go there and work it. It's open source, yeah, definitely. And it would be there in the last slide also. Okay, so what actually is the reason of not using heat maps? Yep. Okay, sorry. What about the heat map, how it works? So here is the representation of the histogram for some data set, so you could see that there are some features here, like the black lines. And how the heat map works, it actually builds some sort of the kernel function. It's usually the Gaussian function. And then it multiplies and creates this density graph, which is actually representing on the screen of the map. So even here, you could see that if there are some features are actually located quite in a quite of distance, it does not work very well. And here you would see on the next slide, that's the pitfalls of using the heat map. It's not probably the best slide, but it shows how it could work wrong. Just imagine if there are like the number of features, or there is one feature for each of the cycle, you would see for some specific radius of the influence, there would be like a place when you would have the highest value for this kernel function in the territory which is not actually has any features. So that's probably the main thing that you should think about, and it would not work with the like on the local level. Even this is a representation of the uniform kernel, but for any type of kernel, you would find this distance where on the local level you would have this overlap and misleading. So your research would not show the appropriate results, and at this point you'd better not using the visualizing at all, so because it would harm your results. For that, I would recommend at the first point, if there is a task to find some clusters, to run the nearest neighbor analysis just to understand whether the distribution type is clustered, because if there is a task to find clusters, we need to understand it, that the data set is clustered, and then the next actually task is to find where are these clusters. So when you're running nearest neighbor analysis, you're getting the results, and then you could run the quadrant analysis and finding the distribution type. It is the vector grid. Of course, it also has some problems for the working, because the quadrant size is still another question. I would also stop on the task. At least there are no overlapping features, and this issue could be fixed by using the quadrant analysis techniques. Another one, if you are not just working for the researching the intents of data, but you also want to find the actually clusters and outliers within your data set, I am recommending to use the clusters and outliers analysis, which would return the data into four categories. It's actually the clusters with high values, clusters with low values, and then outliers. Outliers, I mean the high values surrounded by low values, or low values surrounded by high values. And within this, the whole data set range, you could normalize all the features and find the patterns among all the data set, and continue working with your representation and take decision based on the analysis. And it would be much more sufficient to move forward. Here are some cases. Okay, the next one, it's crazy. That's the color. I would not stop a lot at this moment, but the general idea, just do not use the Railbow because it's really not a very good idea. I am attaching the link to the great article by Lisa Charlotte Rost about the hue-based gradient. The main idea is that it is really not very good for people's eye to identify this like middle regions between the main colors. It's the red, green, and blue, so it would not work very well for people's eye to understand this color ramp, and therefore it is not very good, of course, for people with color blindness. Therefore, it is much more recommended to use one hue or even two hues, just to show this divergent or sequential data distribution. Area of influence, that's another pain, because at first, also, as I said, we are a cloud-based solution, so we are mostly focusing on other cloud-based solutions. And for a lot of cases, they are using pixels and other canvas systems to render this heat map. And as you may imagine, pixel is nothing in geographical terms. So you could not adjust pixels, actually, to any territory to understand which areas are neighboring, and they could and should influence on each other. On the other hand, it's quite easy to move from a disaster to some small local issue that could be, just fixed by anyone. So it is very manipulative to work with the heat maps, and since it does not have any geographical background as neighboring distances, it is very often misused by journalists, by some propagandists, etc., etc. So that's the reason it is not the best idea to use it. Another thing about pixels also, and the neighboring distance. So pixels, as the previous slide, it's the settings that is showing the area of influence, but which area of interest should we use? And actually, that's the question. And in most cases, you're just working with some, you just imagine, so, okay, let's take 500 meters, but why? So there is a common usage recommended distance to understand what is the distance between points should be considered as neighboring distance and the distance of the influence. Therefore, there is a formula, it's from NumPy, it takes into account the number of features of this data set row count and also the area of the polygon of distribution. So if you are working with the data set on the city, you should not take the bounding box because, the area would be a huge difference. And also you should just find the real area of the territory. Another one, is the map projection. It's also about the pixels somehow. For this point, you could see, for example, here is the huge cycle over the Europe, and you may imagine that actually it does not work in the real world like this, because we should count distances on the Earth's surface. Therefore, it should be a huge distortion of this cycle. It should not be a cycle, because for SaaS products, people usually use the Mercator, Pseudo-Mercator CRS, therefore it does not work very well, and it also misleads the researcher, because on this global scale, your features would overlap, but on the real distances would be completely different. So here is the slide for the changing the distortion, changing the CRS. Therefore, what we use in our analysis, because we are building the platform for everyone, we are using the Vincenti formula for the measuring distances, which works quite well on ellipsoid. And we actually open sourced this formula and these algorithms to measure distances between nearest points, so it could be easily implemented in any solution, and it is the nearest neighbor analysis based on the calculations based on CUDA, so it's on the GPU and it works quite well. I'm recommending to read the article for my friend and also the backend developer of the product. So what he released is actually the algorithms that works extremely fast. It's building the ball tree and then works in going down, down to find the nearest neighbor and the distance to this nearest neighbor. And it works extremely fast, so you could count the distances to like 3 million features within 1 minute on the NVIDIA, as far as I know, it was 1060. Yeah, so it's even not the newest one. So here is the PIP repository and also the GitHub, so feel free to use it in any applications. Yeah, that's the general information to sum up what I was talking about. So first of all, before using the visualizing methods to find clusters, you should understand whether this data set is clusterly distributed. Therefore, I'm recommending to use a nearest neighbor analysis. You can find, and you could use this repository for the Vincenti CUDA NNA. Also, using appropriate area of influence parameter and measuring distance settings, that's the formula that was also on slides, because yeah, area of influence should be a geographical unit for visualization. Also, do not use Railbow. Use the 1 or 2 hue color ramp for visualizing. It's much easier to understand the differences between some middle ranges. Also, use the local Moran's eye analysis to define clusters and outliers. It may normalize all the data and it may show some local changes between in the middle of inside the data set, so it would show the insides of the data. Also, I did not mention in the slides, but if you have some weighted heat maps, so you are using some column in your points data set to build a heat map, it's better to use the Geddes Ord GI star analysis just to find these areas with high values and low values. It works really well, and it is also could be used by using the PySol. It's the library for the data analysis. Here is extremely, I believe, valuable links for the interesting stories, research, etc., etc., and you may see the open source stuff that we are contributing. Thanks a lot. Hope it was interesting somehow to somebody. Yeah, thanks.
What cases would you consider appropriate for using heat maps, actually?
I believe it would. It could work with a lot of data on a local level. I mean, if you're working with the indoor data mapping, it could work quite well because you've got a lot of like GPS or indoor tracks. And so there is no like overlapping issue, and there is no like distortion in the CRS because of the local level. So probably that would work.
Thanks. Thank you for the presentation. Completely agree about the heat map stuff. Just some comments about the use of LISA, the local Moran, for example, especially for the network. Why you use a grid approach? Or when you study network, while I think it's possible to apply directly the local morans on network base.
I'm not sure that I could answer directly. Yeah, thanks. Very good question. I think it would be better if we count the number of features per each road segment, number of features in this case, accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, I agree. Probably that was the reason because of the current implementation. So yeah, that's definitely, that should be done. So thanks.
I can show it.
Yeah, I would repeat the question probably.
It's, I have a question because you speak about the methodical presentation are adequate. Another question that I have is, do you take the audience into consideration for that? Like, do you have presentation which are good but may, for example, are complex to understand? Is it something you you have advice or experience with?
Thanks. I would try to understand by myself. Your question was about the presentation of the methods for.
So for various visualization that you show,
yeah.
To explain what's adequate or not regarding the data. Do you have also, does it work with any audience? Like, or do you have things you say, I wouldn't use that for a broad audience because maybe it can be misunderstood?
For the cases, probably, yes. So the question was about the different different visualization approaches it could be used instead of heat maps, and how our clients and are actually take it into consideration. So, or I'm not sure, but by the way, actually we are. Yeah, just from behind, we are a B2C solution, but for the B2B cases that we are using, it's still common that they are trying to, our clients use our specialists to build the case together. So they are quite okay when we are talking to them that it's not probably the best solution for you, let's go to another solution. But unfortunately, it's just for a couple of cases because we could not communicate with everyone definitely. So probably writing some articles and making presentations would, you would allow to move from there. Another question.
About the heat map and the grid representation, when you change scale with the heat map, people like it, I think, because it changes according to the scale, which I hate, but it did. And they don't like the grid because you just see one big cell when you're at high scales, and perhaps that's how they see it.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I think it could be fixed, and it's already fixed in Kepler GL. It's an Uber visualization platform, so they do this aggregation, I mean, the grid visualization on the front end. Therefore, it could be also set up to the, like, on-fly re-rendering the grid. But it's still at the Kepler GL, they are using the pseudo Mercator, so we are facing the same issue with the grid size. But it's interesting to create it on the front end, I think, and to run it directly on the client side, it would be on the fly. So technically it's possible, I think it would be work. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much. Well done. One more round of applause, everyone, please. Thank you.